What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
How do you enjoy prosperity? Well, you do all the stuff that got you there in the first place.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
All the little things, you know, it's not some deal where you I'll get in trouble for this, I'm certain, but
Andy Dirt Johnson.
Where instead of playing hard and getting a first down and getting a play, then, you know, you want to sit behind a shade tree, eat a fish sandwich, and drink a lemonade with your fat little girlfriend.
And Brendan Sprague.
I'm working on this trademark cough. What do you think? It's getting better, too. We marched it downfield.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague on Portland sports leader 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. The Mike Leach open always, every time. It delivers every time. RIP to the Pirate. We miss him, and college football misses him. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Mainly college football related. I'll give you a week zero primer, but let's continue our preview of the season, beginning with good friend of the program, Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews, at Pick Six Previews on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Brett, good morning to you. If I ask you, it's kind of a random way to start an interview, but you cover all these teams, you got all this intel and all. What storyline, what team, what is most exciting about the upcoming year in college football to Brett Ciancia?
Yeah, well, first off, thanks for having me on. I think the biggest intrigue this year is the new conference structuring. It's sad to see the Pac-12 go, and those teams are now scattered across the Power Four conferences, and just brings about a lot of new matchups, a lot of new playoff scenarios. So I think that's what's most intriguing on a high, high level. Of course, you can dig into all these different schools. Like, I'm really intrigued with Ole Miss, the way that they went through the transfer portal to try and build a championship roster compared to the high school ranks. Clemson, the opposite, no transfer portal at all. So, we can talk so many teams and storylines, but just in general, the conference realignment, the playoff tripling in size from 4 to 12, and all the transfer activity, it's going to be a lot to break down this season.
Well, as we mentioned, all these new conference affiliations, it's curious to see how it plays out in the regular season in terms of wins and losses and top tens and tougher schedules for some of the teams in the Big Ten and the SEC, but maybe easier schedules in other conferences. When I look at the top 12 or so teams in the country, we always know there's one or two that are going to disappoint. So I'm curious, just from the get-go, who are the ones that you're maybe circling and saying, either I'm not buying or I'm completely out on that team? And are there any teams that are maybe in that 15, 25 to maybe even unranked range that you don't think are getting enough attention? Because we've had a lot of years in a row, I feel like, where an unranked team has ended the season in the top 10 and a top 10 team has ended the season unranked. How do you try and parcel through that in the preseason?
Yeah, for sure. Well, a couple teams that I'm fading from the AP top 10 are Michigan and Missouri. I think Michigan loses so much. 10 starters off of that offense are gone. Really, the whole offensive line has to be rebuilt. They have a coaching change. Defensive coordinator change, several guys gone from the defense as well. I think in a crowded, top-heavy Big Ten, the Michigan, they're repeated. They're going to take some hits here, and they're not going to make the bracket. So while the AP has them top 10, I'm fading them. Fading Missouri as well. They had a heck of a season last year, a banner season, 11 wins. the Cotton Bowl win over Ohio State, very special. I think they're still going to have a great offense. I think with Brady Cook and Luther Burden back, great offense. My concern with them is defensively, they lost their coordinator, Blake Baker. LSU gave him the biggest coordinator contract in history and plucked him out of there. Lost eight starters, too, to the pros. So I'm fading Missouri in a really crowded SEC. So those are the two I'm selling. In terms of buying, yeah, you could argue a lot of these teams. I have Utah probably as my biggest underdog that I'm buying. I have them winning a crowded Big 12, placing eighth in the country. But remember, in this new playoff bracket, conference winners are seeded 1-4. Yeah. So Utah, if they win the Big 12, they'll be the 3 seed in the national tournament with a bye. So that's probably the team I'm highest on that most aren't.
It's going to be interesting to see how long that format sticks, how long until we get, you know, other non-conference champions in the SEC fighting against that. Wait, why is a 9-3 Utah team get a first-round bye and we went 10-2 and we, you know, got to go on the road or whatever the case? So interesting how that works out. You know, Oregon going to the Big Ten, there are thoughts on the West Coast for people who look at them and know how probably good they've been the last handful of years and realize that this won't be a huge adjustment. Some of the Big Ten seem to think, all right, you know, good luck playing big boy football because it's going to be harder now. When you look at Oregon, are you as high on them as everybody else is around the country? How do you feel about the Ducks in 2024?
Yeah, I'm very high on Oregon. I have them third in the country. And, yeah, you hear that from a lot of Big Ten folks talking about how, oh, Oregon's not ready for this kind of football. I think they're stuck in 2008 or something where maybe back then Oregon was – maybe more speedy, more finesse style of play with their unique offense. But that's no longer the case. This Oregon team is really, really strong in the trenches. First built by Mario Cristobal, now continued by Dan Lanning. It's just incredible recruiting now. So they have one of the best offensive lines in the country. Great, strong front seven on defense. So I think they're poised really well for this transition, and they're going to surprise these Big Ten homers.
Yeah.
Oregon, too, last bit on them is they're the only team in America to stack top 10 high school recruiting classes the last 2 years and top 10 transfer halls the last 2 years. So the amount of talent in that building is elite, and I think they're going to contend right away.
Brett Ciancia is our guest. Pick 6 Previews at Pick 6 Previews. You can find the whole preseason preview magazine at picksixpreviews.com. Great information in there to get you set as we're going into week 0 tomorrow and then week 1 next week. Throwing two other, you know, former Pac-12 teams at you, I'm curious where you're at on Washington and on USC. I look at USC and I think, man, that was such a bad defense. Is it possible to be worse than that? I know they've changed some of the personnel coaching-wise, but that takes a while to get there player-wise. And they had one of the most transcendent players we've seen in college football, and they still could barely win 7 games last year. Is Miller Moss going to be as good as Caleb Williams? I'm just curious where you're at on USC. And then talk about change, man. Washington lost basically everything, but they feel like they're bringing in a proven starter, a quarterback with a young freshman with a lot of talent behind him. Where are you at on USC and Washington going into year one of the Big Ten?
Yeah, well, I'll start with Washington, coming off of a national title appearance, but they lose 20 starters out of 22 off of that title team. So much gone, coaching transition. And then they also got the worst welcome gift ever to the Big Ten. It's the hardest schedule in the conference. They play 7 of the top 8 in the conference. It's ridiculous. So they're going to take some growing pains here. And it reminds me of the TCU team 2 years back that made a surprise run to the national title with Max Duggan. But the following year took a huge correction. So I think you're going to see that with Washington, a transition year. USC, I've been calling them the anti-Iowa because, like you said, they're all offense, no defense. If you could just pair those two things together, USC offense and Iowa defense would be a national champion. But, Caleb Williams is gone. Miller Moss stepped up in the bowl game and threw 5 touchdowns against Louisville in that game. So I think he's poised to be the next guy in line there. And defensively, yeah, it's a change up. Finally, he got rid of his coordinator, Alex Grinch, who had struggled, brought in 3 experienced coordinators. He got Doug Belk from Houston, Matt Entz, the Bison head coach from North Dakota State, and then Danton Lynn coming across town from UCLA. So I think 3 really good minds coming in the door can maybe unlock some of that talent that we know that USC has waiting there. It's always top recruiters, but I think this might be able to unlock that. So top 25 caliber for sure with USC.
Interesting. Notre Dame's one of those teams that traditionally plays a pretty hard schedule. This year, not really the case, and they've added a proven veteran starting quarterback, I would argue, in Riley Leonard. Is it playoff or bust? Where are you at on Marcus Freeman going into the season?
Yeah, I like what Marcus Freeman is building there. He's been able to elevate the recruiting profile a bit. He's got him really strong on offensive line and defensive line. And yeah, when you look at their schedule, probably their hardest game's the opener. They're going into Texas A&M, and it's one of those positional matchups where Notre Dame just lost a couple tackles to injury, and Texas A&M has a great D line, so that's a tough game within the game. But aside from that A&M game, they're probably going to be favored the whole way. A tough one is they host Florida State, and they go at USC. But out of that lineup, I think they go 10-2 or 11-1. And in the old format, that would be you're on the outside looking in. But here in this expanded playoff, I think that Notre Dame is in either scenario. So they did claim one of my 12 spots in my preview magazine playoff prediction.
Well, let's go through the rest of the 11. I love doing this as we get, you know, the season starting. It's so fun. Kind of, you know, it's like it reminds me of March Madness, filling out your bracket and you got your teams and, you know, kind of fill the thing out when it comes out every March. So we need to make this a regular thing where you can fill out and put your teams in and make your graphic of who you think is going to go. So who are the playoff teams for you this year and who do you think takes home the national championship?
Yeah, well, remember, the four conference winners get the automatic bids and the buys. So from there, I went with a little chalk at the top with Georgia and Ohio State from the SEC and the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Utah, maybe a shock pick there at Big 12, winning the Big 12. Miami to win the ACC. Not many other folks have that one. So those are my four winners. From there, I think the SEC gets more teams in. They'll get the most in because they have the strongest schedules, and you just know the committee values them more, for right or wrong. So I think that they get four in there. I have the runner-up Texas, I have Ole Miss, and Alabama all coming in from the SEC. From the Big Ten, I do have Ohio State winning it, but I've got Oregon there close and Penn State getting a bid. I have Notre Dame as a wild card. And that leaves us with one spot left. I have Florida State as a runner-up in the ACC. And then, of course, the last piece of this is the non-AQ champion. They're giving an automatic bid to the lowest non-AQ. I've got Boise State, and wouldn't that be fitting for the old BCS Busters to get it at that first crack at that bracket? So kind of a David Goliath matchup. It'd be Boise heading into Austin, Texas to take on the Giant. So I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be so fun. Who do you think wins the old thing this year? Who's your preseason champion?
I'm going Ohio State. They have it all this year. They have the returning starters. They have elite recruiting. They have great transfers. But they also have the intangible of the motivational card. I know that sounds silly, but they've lost three straight years to Michigan. That's unacceptable in Columbus. Just saw Michigan hoist the national title trophy. So they went all in this offseason. They hired Chip Kelly as a coordinator. They signed some of the best transfers in America. Mm-hmm. It's all, you know, all their chips are on the table here. I think it's Ohio State's year.
Everybody's got October 12th circled down here, man. We cannot wait for that game. Ohio State at Autzen. Sounds like a 4:30 kick on NBC. College football is here. What a glorious time of year. Brett Ciancia. Go check out the preview. Pick6previews.com. At Pick6previews on Twitter. Go give them a follow. Thanks so much for the time, man. I know you're probably doing a million of these a day, so I appreciate the time out here in Portland, and have fun watching a little Week Zero action tomorrow.
Oh, same to you. Thanks for having me, and good luck Oregon this year.
There you go. Brett Ciancia, good stuff from him. Pick six previews where I think Ohio State's going to win the national championship. It's just going to be interesting to see how the playoff, expanded playoff, impacts the regular season and late in the year. Some of these matchups, it's so new. I'm pumped for actually getting there, but I'm curious how the last couple of weeks of the regular season look. One of our P1s said, regarding Washington, it would have been a major transition even if DeBoer hadn't left. Of their 20 starters gone, only four were actually in the transfer portal. The others were all graduation or the draft, and that would have been gone regardless, kind of giving Jed Fish a built-in mulligan in the eyes of many. And that's the way that I would view it if I were a Husky fan. Which, bizarre world, will never happen. But, you know, hey, from playing that game. And that's one of the reasons, honestly, why I was so bummed that Kalen DeBoer left. Because I think one of the arguments, he had Dan Lanning's number. He won all three matchups when they played, and two of them were the biggest games in the history of the rivalry, arguably last year. And so you can never take that away from him. But one of the key aspects of being a legit long-term stud head coach in college football is the ability to find talent, the ability to develop talent, the ability to recruit, to build your roster year in and year out. And I 100% agree with that take. I think it's really rational of you to say that, of like, even if DeBoer had stayed, man, they damn near broke the record for number of Pac-12 players that went in the NFL draft. I think the only team they came up short to was one of those peak Pete Carroll national champion years with Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and all those guys. Like, that was a loaded roster. A lot of those guys were going to be gone, and the recruiting classes were in the 25 to 30 range. And so I remember saying it the day that he left, and I'm going to continue to reiterate it. I'm bummed that he left because I would have been curious to see how that rivalry could have developed with DeBoer versus Lanning, with DeBoer obviously winning the early matchups, but I think it would have bounced back the other way because of Lanning's ability to recruit and find talent in the portal. And so it is a bit of a mulligan year for Jed Fish. I would not have high expectations for this team. I think Will Rogers is a good quarterback. He's coming off a bad year, but he had a good 2022, would that have been 2 years ago, under Mike Leach. And so maybe he finds his rhythm a little bit. Maybe you go to the freshman kid who's a highly touted player. But I would not have anything more than 7 or 8 wins. If you get more than 7 or 8 wins in Seattle this year, I think you're jumping for joy. You get to a bowl game, all right, now you rebuild. Jed Fish is a recruiter. He did it at Arizona. He can do it at Washington if he could do it down there. But I'm with you. Give him a bit of a mulligan. Shouldn't be high expectations. Win X amount of games or else this year for Jed Fish in Seattle. Let's stick in college football. It is week 0, ladies and gentlemen. We have 4 games, 4 actual college football games on your television tomorrow. I'll give you the week 0 primer. That's next on 1080 The Fam.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. A
bitter man. All right, well, Sprague the Line coming up in 10 minutes. Get your fake sponsors into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Week 0 is here. Will Jason Swigard be planted on the couch watching college football from Dublin tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.?
No, I will be finishing up. I will be your lead-in with the final edition.
Oh, touche. Yeah, golf's the last show.
Golf in the Northwest.
Are you going to head home and then watch the game, or are we going to be check the score?
It'll be on.
On, background on, okay.
We'll see how invested I am in it. Like I said, still lots of...
A lot of catching up to do. You get
lots
back.
Lots of thing, you know, a lot laundry. Of laundry to do.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, we left, the fridge was barren, so...
Right, you don't want to have food sitting in there for a week while you're gone. You got to go get groceries.
So there's some stuff, and I do have a hops game, so but it'll be on. We'll take that one in for sure.
Yeah, so 9 a.m. tomorrow is your first game of the college football season. It is Florida State, Georgia Tech, the most random matchup you could choose for Dublin.
I guess. I don't
quite know why this is your Dublin game. Notre Dame makes sense when they go over there and play. I get it. Yes. I guess a couple of years ago, who did Nebraska blow? Northwestern, wasn't that
something
the
like
Ireland
that.
Game?
Yeah.
It was Nebraska-Northwestern, and Scott Frost blew that big lead. So I guess this one falls into that same category. I'm not sure why the Dublin thing is a thing. I'm not sure when this began, why we started doing the Dublin thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the relationship is there.
Why we don't go anywhere else. We just go to Dublin for this game.
Yeah.
And the Big Ten has played Dublin games. The ACC's played. Last year, we had, I think, Notre Dame Navy. So there's not like a conference affiliation with Dublin.
I don't know.
But hey,
I don't know if there's a sponsor tie-in somewhere.
I'd be down for a trip to Dublin. I'm not anti-Dublin. It'd be great.
No, let's go have some
Guinness. Throw some pints down and watch some college football over there. That is your first game of the weekend. And just a quick preview on it. So, you know, I was just asking Brett Ciancia his thoughts on teams that he's high on and teams that he's not. Michigan was the one that he circled and said he could see them being the top 10 team that doesn't have a great year. I clearly understand where he's coming from. I'm not quite there on Michigan yet. I don't see this huge drop-off, and 9-3 at worst is kind of my view for Michigan. They do have a challenging schedule, but opening with Texas, but they play Texas in non-conference. Florida State's the one of those teams that every year we get a top 10 team that just crumbles and falls off the face of the earth. Florida State's kind of that team for me at the start of the season. I have seen DJ Uiagalelei play a lot of football. And it was funny. I was going to get to something. We're not going to have time for it today. I'm going to run out of time. But Adam Rittenberg put out a piece on ESPN where he had anonymous coaches in their conference give quotes about the quarterbacks that they have to face. Just, what do you think of this guy? We get this a lot in the NFL. He did it with some of the bigger name quarterbacks in college. Here's what an ACC coach said about DJ. He said, quote, "He's the same guy." He didn't just suddenly become a great player at Oregon State. I'd imagine if he and Smith liked each other that he would have gone to Michigan State with them. And that part of it, like, I think Smith wanted to go the youth route. Aiden Childs makes more sense for them. But I also remember going through this last year a little bit, and Beaver fam was so psyched to have him because he was such a big name to get, a number one overall player in the country. And he did have his moments at Clemson, although it didn't end well in the last 2 years, that felt like, all right, you get him in this system. It's a pro-style system. This will work.
For him going to Oregon State than transferring to Florida State.
Yeah, absolutely. And now I've seen this guy play football. He's going to have a couple of wow throws. He's got a rocket cannon of an arm. I also don't think he processes information very quickly. They are losing their star running back, Trey Benson. You're welcome, Florida State. They're losing their top two wide receivers, one of them playing for the Bills now, and Keon Coleman. They're losing their number one tight end. Now, the thing that Florida State has going for them is that the majority of their offensive line is guys with experience. Some of them are transfers, but there's guys that have played other places and been starters. So there's a lot of career-combined starts on the offensive line. But, again, I'll go back to him at Oregon State. Like, he's with the coach that we consider to be a good offensive mind in Jonathan Smith. He is playing behind an offensive line that we would all agree was one of the better ones in college football last year in Corvallis. And he was okay. It was fine. So I look at Florida State, and they're probably going to win tomorrow. This line has shrunk. It opened at 14, 15. It was somewhere in that range. A ton of money has come in on Georgia Tech. I think it's down to about 10. Brent Key, the head coach of Georgia Tech, has been awesome as an underdog against the number. So if you are a college football gambler, I think in his career he's like 12-3 or something like that. So just keep that in mind. Now, Florida State's defensive line is going to be dominant. They brought a lot of those guys back. Their defense was very good last year. Should be good again. They had to patch some holes in the back end. But when I think about Florida State last year, they had a three-headed monster with one of the best quarterbacks in the country in Jordan Travis, one of the best wide receivers in the country in Keon Coleman, and one of the best running backs in the country in Trey Benson. And now I look at them and say, you have regressed at quarterback. I don't know a ton about the running back room because a lot of the guys are unproven, so I'm just imagining you're going to regress slightly from where Trey Benson was. And you're plugging the hole of a guy who was a first-round draft pick in Keon Coleman and another starter. Like, I don't think their offense is going to be as good. And so if this is why, to me, tomorrow, this opener is an interesting game. Georgia Tech, now I am the head coach of Georgia Tech in year five of NCAA football. We have built them into a power.
Are you about dynasty
to,
now?
We're year five of the dynasty. We're about to go to our second straight college football playoff, 12-1, number one team in the country.
There you go.
ACC championship coming up whenever I have time to play.
How many teams
ball game
are
around
in the ACC 3 years from now?
I shook up the conference a little bit. I added Notre Dame to the mix because I wanted a more interesting opponent than what the conference can provide. I kicked SMU out because I just didn't want to play. SMU, stupid. Get them out of there.
Okay.
So we're at the number that they're at. I added Notre Dame, bumped SMU
out. Are Cal
out.
And Stanford still
No. Cal and Stanford were eliminated from the get-go.
Okay.
They are not ACC teams, and I will not be playing Cal and Stanford. They were eliminated from the... I rebuilt a hybrid old Pac-12. Cal and Stanford, get the hell out of here. But Georgia Tech, their offense was one of the best in the country last year. Running the football, I want to say they were 12th in the country, number one in the ACC running the ball. Haynes King, if you remember that name, he was a guy at Texas A&M a couple of years ago. He's an incredible dual threat guy. He ran for nearly 800 yards last year, accounted for 37 touchdowns. Now, he's a squirrely turnover guy. He's going to throw a bad pick every now and then. Lord knows I did that in the game with him. But he is a guy who can be dynamic and make some big plays. Jamal Haynes, the running back, was the first 1,000-yard rusher at Georgia Tech since 2017. He had a great year last year. They're pretty good at wide receiver. Their defense isn't great, but the offense for Georgia Tech should be pretty solid. And so I'm not going to be surprised at all tomorrow if we get an interesting game. DJ struggles a little bit. The Florida State offense is slightly clunky. A lot of returning pieces for Georgia Tech. A lot of new pieces for Florida State. I think we get a tight ball game going into late in the second half. Florida State probably going to win. A little peekaboo for Sprague in the line here. But I do think that will be an interesting competitive game. And one to just circle, because as Brent Ciancia just told us, Florida State's one of those teams that people have it. Like, they're a playoff team to a lot of folks this year.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite there with them. Maybe they prove me wrong. They blow out Georgia Tech and you say, all right, yeah, DJ's got it now. But I've seen that guy play football, man. He's an okay quarterback. And I think we need to stop pretending that he's anything more than that.
Well, and this is always an interesting game, too, because it's not normal travel. You go over early.
No.
You're trying to do some stuff for your team over there to take in the culture. So it's always a little curious who is, if one team gets more distracted about not feeling like a regular football game.
You're in Dublin, man.
Yeah.
Walking around, Guinness everywhere.
Exactly.
Sheep, rolling hills.
So it's one of those things,
you're
too.
A long way from Tallahassee, man. A slight difference there.
You know, who's having a good time and who's, no, we're here to play football.
That's right. The only other game that I will watch, now I'm going to be in Seattle. I'm going up to the Giants and Mariners game, so I won't be watching these live, but I'm going to DVR them or record them. YouTube TV, by the way, unlimited space. I am a believer. YouTube TV is the way of the future. SMU Nevada is the only other one. They are a massive favorite. SMU is. I did boot them out of my ACC, but that's a team returning a lot. Nevada sucks. SMU's got a very easy, manageable schedule this year, and they are paying their freight to be in that new conference. And just circle it, Rhett Lashley, and just kind of what they have coming back this year. Very curious to see what SMU looks like tomorrow. So there you go. There's your little week zero preview.
You're not going to stay up late for Delaware State at Hawaii?
No, I don't think that game's even on television. Am I wrong on that?
I don't know. You can usually find it somewhere. Although Hawaii does have weird things. If you're in Hawaii,
it's
probably on four different stations.
I bet it is.
All I saw at commercial breaks was Hawaii football season opener. Let's go.
This is a fun trivia question, too, to think about. So one of the other, there's four games tomorrow. I gave you two of them. That's the fourth one of the night. Delaware State, which they didn't catch their flight.
Their initial flight. Well,
they had
to bus all the way to New York.
Will this game happen? We need to check in on that. Are they even there? Did they make it to Honolulu? The fourth game of the day is at 1 o'clock on FS1. Montana State's on the road at New Mexico. Nobody cares. Not many people will watch. Montana State going up a level to play an FBS opponent.
Yeah.
They are a 2-touchdown favorite on the road. On the road.
Watch out for those Bobcats.
Watch out for the Bobcats. So there is your week zero primer. Four games tomorrow. It all starts at 9 a.m. Really curious to see how that game goes. I think I'll be on the train. We're taking the train up tomorrow. It's always a good thing to do to go check an M's game out. Be watching that one on it and recording the game.
Oh, is this Teddy Ballgame's first Major League game?
He is not. We're not taking Teddy Ballgame. No, it is my nephew Cooper's first Major League Baseball game. And so we got these from my dad for his birthday. And so me and my brother, my dad, and my nephew are going up. It'll be a lot of fun.
Teddy Ballgame's hanging out with Grandma?
Teddy Ballgame is just staying home with Mama tomorrow. Mama's got the day off. So she's just hanging.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a boys' trip up to Seattle for the day. We'll catch the train back down. We'll be back by 9 o'clock tomorrow night. But I haven't been to a big league game in a couple of years. Last time I tried to go to a big league game, I was on the East Coast a couple of years ago. I was in D.C. to go to a Nationals game. It got rained out. Like, what is this? I'm all excited. I haven't been to a baseball game in a couple of years, all pumped. Nationals game got rained out. So excited to get to a game tomorrow. But I will be keeping my eye on week zero. There is your week zero primer. You are all prepped for week zero. Let's spring the line. Get your fake sponsors in 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. We'll do some gambling. We'll do it next.
Spraying the line.
Spraying the line.
Spraying the line.
Spraying the line.
It's good to have you back. Ortner didn't know to sing during the Spraying the Line segment yesterday. I'm like, we're missing a beat here. We got to, what are we doing? I need a lower octave. Somebody's got to come help me out. We got to blend the voices together. Can't just be me singing. Nobody wants to listen to that. Let's see what we have here, folks. Breaking the Line brought to you by willingly driving up to a mountain at 4 a.m. just so you can run back down it, sleep in a van, and poop on the side of the road for 36 hours. Sprague has an interesting idea of fun. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
That would be one of the biggest deterrents for me, other than, being fat and not like running, is the pooping. Where do I go poop? How do I poop on the Hood to Coast? You got to give me a place to poop. Spring Line brought to you by Jerry DePoto, whose plan to get the team at a 53% winning percentage is coming true again. Now they're at 50 right now. Hopefully my Giants knock them down to 49 after the weekend. Spring Line brought to you by Ray Charles. Even if he can't appreciate the taste of Pepsi, he can still see how terrible Sprague's gambling logic is. Yeah, you missed an all-timer yesterday, Swag.
Uh-oh.
Sprague seemed to insinuate that Ray Charles couldn't taste Pepsi. Exactly. There's no comment that's necessary. There's no addition there. Sprague and the Line brought to you by Ken Barkley. After listening to Sprague's picks for 2 years, it forced him to quit, take his talents to South Beach. He's out of here.
You know what? I like money. You know what? I don't like jokes.
He did say it was okay that we can text him and ask him if a line is a trap. He said that was still allowable. We can text him and say, Ken, is this a trap? He said we can do that. Spring and Line brought to you by the Sex Dungeon at Schulte's House. You have to better odds of escaping it unharmed than you do of winning a Sprague pick.
What else did I miss?
Yeah, you missed that yesterday, too. Schulte acknowledged that he showers with his wife 75% of the time.
Okay.
Yeah, just stew on that one.
Okay.
Spring and Line brought to you by Saudi's Public Investment Fund. Sprague Gambling may not make as much as Colorado football, but he sure doesn't lose money more than LIV Golf. Dude, they lost a pickleball this weekend, man. Spring and Line brought to you by Rui Hachimura and a future second-round pick. Only thing more delusional than a Sprague winning bet is me getting dealt for Steph Curry. I guess Jason McIntyre is going on the Colin rant. Saying Rui Hachimura and a future second-round pick could get Steph Curry to the Lakers. What do we think, huh? What do you think? Is that enough, Colin? Colin!
Go back to Hawaii.
Does that guy have a job? Spring and Line brought to you by the amount of runs Dirt will see scored in Seattle tomorrow still higher than the amount of correct Sprague picks this season. That is true. Okay, so I will start. My first pick will be I am taking Georgia Tech to cover tomorrow. I think we get an interesting game. The line's at 10. If I were a more serious college football gambler, I would have locked this in earlier. Because, again, like 2 weeks ago, this thing was 14.5, 14.
Yes.
You get a north of two tutties. I think we get a tight game. Florida State probably
these
pulls
games,
it out late. But
yeah. Usually they go one of two ways. Either it's early in the season, goofy stuff happens. We're still all getting our own stuff down, let alone figuring out the opponent.
Yeah.
And the game and its nature just is to be close.
Yes.
The other way it goes is, okay, one team is just has significantly more talent no matter what the other one does.
And even in years past where we thought we had that with like Nebraska Northwestern, yeah, they blew a 21-point lead and found a way to lose the game.
So I would, if I were laying money on that, if I were traveling.
Stingers are out tomorrow.
Exactly.
We're buzzing.
I'm laying the big wood.
Oh, laying the big wood?
Is the big wood still in here?
Today I'm laying the big wood.
Sorry.
Can that be a new drop? Can we have the big wood and then is the big wood still in here? I don't know. You tell me, buddy. I don't know what's going on in there.
I'm taking Hawaii -40.5. Delaware State missed their flight.
Yes. Rainbow Warriors, 40-point spread.
Fired up down there.
Yeah, you're coming out just off the islands and
pumped about the Rainbow Warriors.
That's so good. Love it. I will give you my baseball parlay of the day. I actually did hit one of these earlier in the week. I did not hit last Friday because the White Sox somehow won a game and they cost me my parlay of the day last Friday. I am on my four picks tonight for my baseball parlay. Yankees money line at home against the Rockies.
Yes.
Kyle Hendricks is on the mound for the Cubs. They are in Miami. Kyle Hendricks is good. The Marlins are not. Give me the Cubs money line. Chris Sale pitching at home against the Nationals. I will take the Braves today at home.
Yeah, the Braves have found something here.
Found it a little bit here in the last week. Sprague put, whines and cries whenever his team loses for a week. Like, and look at that. They're fine.
Five out of the division lead.
They're fine. They're going to go to the playoffs likely. They're a wild card team. They're right there with the Mets. And I will be taking. Now, maybe you get the Dan Wilson, Caleb Canales game tonight. I'm taking the under tonight. It's the Mariners. They're at home. My team can't hit. Their team can't hit. Tell me how the over is seven hits tonight. Famous last words. They'll score 12 runs probably like they did on that Sunday night game against the Mets, but I will take the under of Giants and M's tonight. That is your baseball parlay. Yankees, Cubs, Braves, money line, under of seven, Seattle, San Francisco for a +552. Beat the books. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. You got anything else you want to gamble on? Or you
no.
Good?
That's all
you
no, got? No. Okay. I being over there, the time difference going backwards is odd. We're at this in-between stage of everybody's waiting for the NFL season and college football to get going. So
yeah. Next week will be like a serious spring. Well, actually, spring line, which by the way, Sprague still has not paid off his spring in the line bet from last year.
Oh, yeah.
He's supposed to caddy around golf for me. I'm actually playing in a tournament on Monday. Northwest Golf Guys out of Persimmon.
Perfect.
And he did, well, get the smock. What are we doing? He's not going to do it because he's running the Hood to Coast. He's going to complain. His legs are all sore. Can't do it. He has not paid off the bet yet. We got a bet welcher situation going on here.
Man,
he seems to think it's my responsibility to like figure it out and play on the video. Like,
no.
You lost the bet.
You lost the bet.
You buy the smock. Ask me when I'm playing, which is like once every 2 months. Yes.
Yeah, he's got to order the jumpsuit. Do we need to go online and like just start emailing him links?
I'm not
to
buying
the...
him one. You could buy a painter's outfit.
No, you
just email
him the links.
Yeah.
And just go, hey, we found this. When are we doing this?
Let's see. One more win here. Sprague and Line brought to you by Sprague's Running Hood to Coast. He'll do anything to get out of hearing sponsors that make fun of him. One listener, by the way, let me pull that up real quick because you missed this yesterday too, and then we'll go and we'll wrap up the show. So we had some fun with Ken at the end of the show.
Yes.
And we just said, hey, just for kicks and giggles, give us your championship parlay basically for the next year. So he gave us 5 picks for championships.
Oh.
And we have placed the parlay. I put $1 on it. A $1 bet pays $60,000. So just for fun, right?
Wow.
And a listener is asking, can you give me Barkley's parlay yesterday? So, Chiefs Super Bowl.
Okay.
Phillies World Series.
Okay.
He went Toronto Maple Leafs Stanley Cup. I know. Wow. I know. Columbus Crew MLS Cup.
Okay.
That's a cup as well, I believe.
Yes, MLS Cup.
MLS Cup. And Oklahoma City Thunder.
The Thunder have to
NBA
be there.
So those are that's your 5. So you go Chiefs, Phillies, Maple Leafs, Columbus Crew, OKC Thunder. That is the Ken Barkley championship parlay. We have people tweeting us their pictures of doing bonus bets. Like $10 pays... You're making $600K basically.
There you go.
So it's big. $5 pays a lot. I just did $1 because it's probably not. $1 pays $60,000.
There you go.
For kicks and giggles, if you want.
There you
go.
You can start the education fund for one Teddy ball game.
I mean, in $60,000, I might just retire and become a pro gambler at that point.
Well, $60,000 will get you 1 year of college by the time he gets there at a public school.
That'll cover books.
That's private right now. That might not even be enough for private.
That'll cover books.
I might get you a 1 year. A public institution by the time he gets there.
Yeah, I'll cover books. Yeah, the folks at Persimmon are saying we'll get him an outfit for Monday to come. I'm playing in a tournament out there, Northwest Golf Guys. I'll be out there Monday playing in a tournament. My game's not in great shape. I played twice in like 2 months. So
you got to shame him like nobody's business on Monday. It's all set up. Here, you don't even have to buy it.
He's not going
to
do it because he's running. He's going to be sore. He's not going to come walk 18 holes. He's not built for that grind. Telling me to hit a 7-iron, you idiot. I'm not hitting 7-iron here, you dumbass. Not
gonna happen. Wait for you to ask him to read the greens.
Which way does this break? All right, there you go. Spring in line every Friday. We will we'll wrap up the show. Send you off on your weekend. Week 0, close it up next on the fam. There you go. Fist pumping your way into the weekend every single Friday. Hope everybody's having a good time running the Hood to Coast today, surviving out there, staying nice and cool. Great weather for it. Looks like we're going to get showers most of the day.
Yeah.
Kind of calming down. Maybe a little sun out later tonight. That's not bad weather at all. A lot better than I thought it was going to be originally. It looked like it was going to be pretty nasty all weekend. And then the heat returns just in time for week one football games next week.
Exactly.
There's just a feeling in the air, man. There's a feeling in the air when you get this close to football season, and I can't wait. Next week, I can't wait. Just to have actual games back on, and then I know you got to wait the other week for, you know, the next week for the NFL to kick off, which is what, September 5th, I want to say is
Thursday, September 5th.
Our first game.
Like I said, I already have menus planned for Thursday and Friday, those two. Yeah.
You do. You're all planned out.
Trying to combine it, so the opening night. Baltimore and Kansas City.
That's
I got
right.
Burnt ends and crab cakes.
Oh, God, that's so good.
And then Friday is the Brazil game, so I'm going Brazilian right
there. You go Brazilian there?
Yes.
I do love that we get two and the week zero stuff is stupid. Like, we should just play football this weekend. I hate that we do this, like, teaser of only 4 games are played, and I... let's move the season up. You got to get out of the way of the NFL later in the year. This is when the football season should start. Teams are ready. Like, start camp at the beginning of August. We're ready to go. What are we doing here? I do kind of miss not having that, you know, and this used to happen in years past in college football where you would get that kind of kickoff Thursday night going into the weekend.
Yeah.
And you get the Thursday night games, or usually be one or two on a Friday, and then you get the full Saturday, and then there's the lingering game on Sunday, maybe into Monday. Like,
yeah.
I miss that. I wish that's the way that we would start the season. Instead of just getting four random games, yeah, one of which matters and the other ones don't.
I would be all for ditching week zero.
I just think it's not a week zero. I think you just make week zero week one.
The week before?
And just have this be the start of the college football season, the last weekend I know they're playing next week on the 29th or the 30th, whatever it is. But I have this be the start of the season. Like, you have that weird snafu at the end of the year where you're now going to have playoff games go like head to head against NFL playoff games.
And yeah.
Good luck with that. I mean, I will watch that because that's more interesting to me than regular season NFL games. But if the matchups aren't great or you get a blowout or whatever, like that's stiffer competition. We were going through this earlier in the week when you were out. Sprague was bemoaning that he doesn't care that much about baseball anymore outside his team late in the year. And I just think it's largely because, one, we got football brain. It's almost here. And two, this is when you should be finishing your year. No competition. Golf realized this of like, yeah, dude, we're not going against the NFL anymore. We're moving up. Moving up. College football should do the same. But excited to see it this weekend nonetheless. If you're up at Safeco tomorrow, come say what's up. I'm going to be watching some bad baseball. My team's one game above 500. Their team's 500. A vicious battle of incompetent offenses battling it out for a wild card spot in the playoffs. Very excited for that. So come say what up. I'll be up at Safeco tomorrow. Swag will be back with the golf show tomorrow.
Yep. We got Spirit Mountain has some new top golf suite simulator things.
Oh, okay. That's
so
pretty cool.
So if you want another reason to head down and start wagering on college football.
That's a good reason to do it.
And then we'll go to Medford as well.
Oh, okay. I was going for a walk in my neighborhood yesterday, and I walked by a neighbor's house who had his garage open. Simulator in there.
You're jealous.
Bastard. I'd never leave.
It's going to be Teddy's third birthday present. Yeah. I got to start him now.
Dad, I don't know how to use it. It's all right. It's not for you, kid. That will do it for us. Ian Furness joined us at 7:30. Go check that on the M's Firing Scott Service. And Brett Ciancio was great. Pick six previews. You can catch those 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080thefan. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good luck if you're running the hood to coast. Enjoy the football. We will talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.